Welcome to episode 2 of the Main Street Exchange, a Zia Media Group podcast, where we talk about small town, small America, small business marketing. How did people get where they got? In the first episode, we really walked through me and Micah's story. And today we're have our first guest, and I think it's appropriate to have Clint Freeman here. And he is the owner of Sunglass LLC, the glass authority here in the four corners of the United States, the United States of America. And yeah, we're just so glad that you're here with us. And
thanks, Stephen. Great to be here.
Yeah, awesome. And so I just thought that we would just kind of hang out a bit, talk through, you know, I could brag on him all day long, but I think one of the most important things that I want our audience to hear is the importance of partnerships.
Absolutely.
Because Clint is here and I'm here because of our mutual partnership in business, in marketing, and how we work together and the importance of trust in a small town.
Huge.
I think we're going to learn means a lot, and how the community functions. But the community, I know you well, our audience does. And so would you share a little bit about your origin story, where you came from, a little bit about your roots, and really what drove you to be like, you know what, I think I want to own my own business.
Yeah. So, you know, if you start on the business side of it, I would say that Sunglass is a legacy business in this community. So it started in 1952. Almost, if you look at the history of San Juan County and the history of Farmington, in some ways, Farmington started in about 1952.
Yeah,
and so they discover oil and gas, and then all these kind of ancillary businesses come, hence a glass shop. And so a glass shop starts, it's started by W.L. Garrett. So Sunglass is started by W.L. Garrett. He operates it, grows this glass business. He then passes it on to his son. His name was Woody Garrett, and passes on to him. My dad actually and a partner then bought Sunglass in 1999. I grew up in this community. We moved here. We moved from Amarillo, Texas in January of 19...
Amarillo.
Amarillo.
I had to throw that in there.
So yeah, we moved here in January of 77. So I was 2 years old. So really not born, but pretty well raised in San Juan County. So moved here, graduated high school in 93, went to college, went back to Texas for college, then went to work in kind of big corporate world. And so background construction products, not in the glass business, mainly heavy highway, underground utilities, working that. And then, so my dad and this partner bought Sun in 1999. So I was already out of college, kind of working big corporate. They took that business and the business grew. They did amazing things. So grew it from, I think there was 17 or 18 employees at that point, grew the business. And then to like, I can go back to 07. I think there were 35 employees at that point. So did a lot of good stuff. Business grew. We started having kids. So adopted our two oldest. My mom and dad started saying, hey, why don't you move back to Farmington? And I think at the end of the day, they really wanted the grandkids.
They wanted the grandkids.
Yeah, they wanted the grandkids back. So like, let's just be honest. That's what they really wanted.
but they really want the grandkids.
Let's really know what the truth is. And so, so that was 2007. We were living in Colorado Springs. I was running a concrete plant for Pavestone, who's a pretty good sized corporation. And my dad and I always talked business. It was something we'd meet somewhere and, you know, for vacation or whatever. And we talked business. And so I had a good understanding of the glass business. I'd actually worked in the glass business in high school. I'd worked for a different glass shop, so not Sunglass, but what was Harding Glass at the time, over on Broadway. So it's actually where our commercial location is today. But it was a...
No way, I didn't know that fact.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So it was a big corporate store out of Kansas City, and the guy that was my dad's partner, that's what he actually ran that. So that's how he was in the glass business. My dad had always been in wholesale hardware.
Okay.
And so when they bought it in 1999, but yeah, so we, Eric and I moved home in 2007, and we said to it, we'll come home for 1 year and we'll see if it's a good fit. Because you don't know, dad and I had never worked together. I had worked for his partner. And so I knew he and I had could work together. But again, hard to know. You've been out of college for a while. Can they see you as your own leader? Can they see you as an adult? It's hard to know.
Yeah.
And so like we said, we'll come for 1 year and we'll see how that goes. Well, that was 16 years ago now. Okay. And so after 1 year, I realized, man, this is a good fit. This is a lot of fun. We love being back in Farmington. We love being in San Juan County. You know, my wife's from the Dallas area, so didn't know, again, how would small town fit to somebody, you know, from the DFW Metroplex. So very different. And so Moved back after a year, we realized this is a good fit. At that point, I bought my dad's partner out of the business. So that brought us back to a family business. And it has been just a thrill to get to work side by side with my dad. And so, and he's been at, he was at Sun, he retired 2 years ago.
Is he still part owner?
He's still part owner. Yep. Okay. So we're still 50-50 partners. And so he's still an owner, but he is retired, which
he deserves.
It is so awesome to see him get to just enjoy the fruits of his labor, if you will. And so he and my mom travel a lot. They enjoy time together. Yep. They spend time with my kids. They go to Austin, spend time with my brother and his kids. And so for them to have that freedom that they've so duly earned.
And I think, I mean, just to brag about your dad just for a moment, you know, is I think everyone thinks of Cliff as the guy who's smiling when you first walk in.
He's How are such
you
doing? A sweet
know you by your first name, probably.
Yeah.
You know, and if he didn't, hey, I apologize. What's your first name again? Yep. And really, really the level of courtesy and appreciation for this community. Absolutely. Still, folks are, tell Cliff I said hi. Well, I said, well, he's not always in the office, but I'll be, you know, because he's just, you say sunglass, you think Cliff Freeman, you know?
Yeah.
And so what a blessing I think he's been to this community and how he's been able to intermingle, I think, in a fresh way is family, faith, and business.
Yes. That's it.
Wouldn't you say that?
I would say that's it, and say, you know, a culture of care. Mm-hmm. So sometime back, we talked about why do we exist? So why do we exist as a business? And ultimately, we started asking him, like, why did you buy Sunglass when you did? And, you know, I was out of college, kind of doing my thing. My brother was just about to finish college. And he said, you know, I was ready for a change. I wanted to do something different, but I realized I still had things to care for. Still had to pay bills, still had to care for your mom. So I wanted something different. And so it was like this aha for us as a leadership team to say, oh, I think the reason we exist is to care. Is it so, we're in the glass business, we're kind of in the construction business, but no, we exist to care for each other as a team. We exist to care for our customers. We exist to care for this community. That was a game changer for us as a leadership to say, okay, is everything that we do caring? And so by putting that at the forefront, it allows us to hire people that care, discipline.
Now, would you say that was value equity or value aspiration?
Oh, equity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of embedded in the DNA already.
Absolutely. So brag on, you know, Patrick Lencioni, you and I are big fans. So we went through the Advantage, and in his book, he says, you know, your core values and these things should never be aspirational. They should really be who you are.
Who you are.
And so when we walk through that as a team and we realize, oh, we exist to care. So it isn't something that we dream to be. It's just, this is who we are.
Right. That's your DNA.
And now we're just going to live it out, but it allows us to build team around that too.
Yeah.
And then as we build out core values are like, no, this is who we are.
Yeah. I think what's beautiful about that too is that's such a core principle to a service business, because if you are just in it for the money, right? You miss something that is so critical to your business growing in a way that has these incredible locked in relationships. And I think one of the interesting things I find about you two, which is really cool, this is why this is a really cool interview. You didn't mention anything about it, but you know, Clint is actually Stephen's mentor as well in many ways. And you've invested a lot.
I don't know. We formally talk about that.
I know you haven't maybe formalized it, but in many ways, I just know how much you've invested in Stephen and in helping him grow the business as well in his mindset and so forth. And that's been very valuable to us for here at Zia, and we appreciate that very much. But that relationship happens because I think you guys started as friends in many ways.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, you might be further down the business road,
right?
And you helped in that way, but Stephen could help in other ways to you. And so that's that beauty of that caring.
Yes.
Going back to that caring, like you caring about him caring about
and you. And know, caring is not always one directional, right?
No.
I think the best relationships, it's always multi-directional. Right. And so sometimes one person is giving more than the other, and then other times the other is.
That's right.
And I think it's that way in business. So it's that way sometimes, you know, as a leader, you're caring for the people that you support. And then sometimes they're caring for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think
it's
the same thing with good customer relations. Sometimes you're caring for them. Sometimes they're caring for you.
Sure.
And so, and I think that's in especially in a small community, right?
Yep.
Is that a small community can even rally around a business to support it, to help care for it in a lot of different ways. And so,
and I think what is an important facet, you know, for the value to be taken for our people listening is the idea that marketing a business, growing a business, telling the message of your business starts with leadership and it goes down to employees and then it moves out to your products and services.
Yeah.
Because the old adage, right, you can't sell what you don't believe in.
Yep.
And I think people innately, intrinsically know that.
Yeah.
And you know, we're bringing in companies and guests that really understand the 360 degree view of marketing. It's customer service. It's great products. It's great leadership. It's and great marketing and advertising. Those things have to come together. In fact, we don't work with clients that don't have a good customer service process. Yep. Because we'll be spinning our wheels. We could deliver great leads. We can deliver 100 leads. They might convert 5 if they don't believe in serving their community well. Yep. And if they don't truly believe in no one gets to the mountaintop in one go, right?
Right.
So let's talk through some of those challenges of growing Sunglass. I mean, just to give them a perspective, how many employees are we running now?
So I believe we're at 94.
94. Now. And you came in with how many?
So 2007, we had 35. So our growth story is had 35. We've grown a lot through acquisition. And so we were Farmington based. This is where this was home. This is what we did. We didn't really work a lot out commercially. We would work the region. Yep. So people kind of knew us, but not really. We were a wholesaler. So we wholesaled to a lot of the smaller shops in the region. Right. So we knew those people. And so the first acquisition was in 2014. We bought Durango Glass, which again, another legacy business that started in 1952. Mm-hmm. And so had a relationship with them. We're in there. Weren't really looking for anything, didn't really have a plan to grow, but as far as through acquisition, and they were talking about employee challenges and some of the challenges they were facing, we just said, well, why don't you sell the business with us and stay on? And they said, okay.
Yeah.
And so we grew through that by acquiring Durango. We then kind of similar situation, acquired 2 shops in Cortez. And then in 21, we bought a shop over in Pagosa Springs. So legacy businesses that kind of brought into the family. And just, again, try to care for those communities like we've been caring for Farmington. And, and the businesses continue to grow. Grew to 115. We did sell off our auto glass division to Safelite back last October. Yeah. And so wasn't an easy decision. And so hard mainly to say bye to people that left us to go to work over there. And so, but it's allowed us to focus. So that took us, we were at about 115 employees and it's brought us down to 94. We're continuing to hire. So I think it won't be long before, probably by the end of the year, we'll be back up over 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I think that's encouraging for some of our listeners that might be going, okay, the only way to go is launch startup, you know?
Yep.
Some people have some cash. They want to make an investment. They want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. They have the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yep.
What's one piece of advice you would say, you know what, if I were to go over that again, and it could be the answer is, no, that struggle was worth it and the suffering I needed in order to get here. But if you were to give our listeners any kind of value statement that would help them really make those leaps towards launch or buy, what direction, pros and cons do you think?
You know, I'd say, you know, of course, plan. And I'd say the corporate experience I had was beneficial in that is big corporate typically is big about planning. And so I learned a lot about planning, budgets, finance, that was really beneficial to me. We found that we are better, whether that's as a family, as a business, we're better at buying things and making them better. I'm saying we're better at making the bicycle better than we are at building the bicycle from scratch.
Yeah.
Great thing to know about yourself.
Yeah. So, and some people, I mean, you've built something from scratch that's amazing and doing amazing things. Some people are great at that.
Yeah.
That's not my gift.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And that's okay.
You're a refiner. You're not a launch pad. You're a refiner.
That's it. And because we've tried some things. I mean, we sold fireplaces for a while. We've tried some greenfield things, you know, that we do for 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, we're not very good at this. We should stop. And so those have been harder. It is definitely harder to get out of businesses than it is to get into businesses. And so, and I think that's where it's even hard on the community when you decide this isn't working. And so you have to, you stop. And so whenever that happens, then you have, sometimes you'll have some pushback, but I think a lot of it is, so, you know, I like, so what's worked for us has been that acquisition, finding businesses that are good businesses, they're well run,
needed by the market.
They have a good base, and then figure out how do we take our systems and make them better and help them again grow and care even better for their community.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think on that same kind of line, we've kind of figured out that the best business for us to work with are the ones that have that great heart, that great, mm-hmm. the great bones. They just don't have that online presence that they could have,
sure.
or the quality of presence that
sometimes
they could
have. It's just somebody telling the story. And I think that's right. what you guys are so great at is you're like, we see the story. We know what's going on. Let us go tell the story. Because sometimes it's hard to tell. As a small business, it's hard to tell the story,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It's hard to communicate. I mean, that's the fundamental, right? As marketing is communication.
Oh, and I think, and we live in a world where digital marketing is so critical.
Right.
Yeah. They talk about, in business, you need to have, great partners. You mentioned that earlier, and they always say have a good banker, a good insurance guy, a good attorney. I think digital marketers on that list now. I don't think it was 10 years ago, but it is today. So it's that short list.
Yeah.
And personally, all those partners for me live here. They're people that I want to be able to walk in and look them in the eye and sit face to face and strategize and make a plan together. And so, some people say, oh, the face-to-face handshake deal is dead. I don't think it is. I don't think it is in small town America.
Yeah. And that's the hook here. And that's where our audience is going to be really interested in, because people, they're finding in rural communities, people love their communities. And yes, there are different types of amenities in metro areas and different types of living, but the folks that do want to stay in 100K or less communities, now combined San Juan County was like 175,000 or so. I don't know if it's more than that, but it's decent once they all come together on a weekend. Everyone wants to go eat out in the restaurants, then you feel it. But really our town is 50K. Farmington's a 50K yeah. town. Those things that are valuable in a small town can actually be an advantage to a small business if you embrace it.
Absolutely.
If your head is too much in the sky, you have to understand the reality that you have in networking and partnerships and relationships drive the small town business.
Yeah.
Embrace those things. Get to know your mayor. Know who your mayor is. Yeah. Know who your council people are. Understand who the influencers are in your communities, because they will help you.
Yeah.
And you will help them. It's an exchange. Hence the name of the so but in this kind of context, what have you found particularly challenging being in a small town versus Sunglass was in Austin? What would you say you face particular challenges here that you would not face there?
Yeah, bigger markets, sometimes it's the vendor side, right? If you're needing certain materials, it's just harder. Like it's harder to get things to Farmington than it is. So sometimes lead time, sometimes just the supply chain is like more logistics. Difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Logistics. Still think the same thing. We strive to have, one of our core values we say is enduring relationships. And the reason we say enduring is good relationships are enduring, right? They're not always easy. Sometimes we fight, right? Sometimes we argue, sometimes we don't get along, but we endure because we love one another and because we can work through it. So we found that it's up the chain, down the chain. So it's even with vendors. So we have some vendors that we've had, I think we've been a Conair dealer since 1977. So predates us,
wow.
But that's the metal for our commercial storefront and curtain wall. That's a long relationship, right?
Yeah, super long.
Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it doesn't work, but we're maybe loyal to a fault, where I think in a bigger city, you have four different glass vendors. You have four different metal vendors that you might just say, okay, who can give me the best price? Who can get it to me the fastest? I'm going to buy from them. Whereas when you're further away, I think you have to rely more on your relationship than you would, again, if you're in a major metro, because there's really one tempering. There's one tempering furnace in the state of New Mexico. It's in Albuquerque. So I have to have a really good relationship with those guys.
Got it.
And so, there's been struggle at times, but we have a relationship and
we got to work this out or move on to something else, but we got to try.
We got to try. We're going to try everything we can to dance with the girl that brung us, right? and so staying put, I think it has value, and it
builds. Don't dance on glass. Work really well together.
Don't dance on glass. Like, okay, don't do that. Unless it's thick, tempered. There's a way we can make that happen for you, but.
And I think, you know, probably what would you say, how did, you know, we all have COVID fatigue. I get it. So we're not going down this rabbit hole too much, but I think COVID showed the resilience of Sunglass and its ability to weather that awful storm. And speak to some of that pivoting a little bit. You guys added some different kinds of innovative products. You had to kind of really understand this community well enough.
Yeah.
Again, understanding your community and what they need is core to marketing your business well. Because if you didn't do what you're about to share, what did you have to do to help make it through? Because the community needed some items that you provided.
So we were deemed essential. So we were tremendously blessed in that regard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people started staying home, and then I think they started realizing, man, we need to do some things to our house. So I'd say COVID in a lot of ways was good for construction companies. And so there was actually some blessing. But yeah, we did a lot of pivoting where, you know, sneeze guards, we call them, you know, health guards, became the norm. There were things that there was a huge need. And due to the relationship, so the vendor that we bought could buy plastic from, we could buy plexiglass from, they were only selling it to four people. Because people were snatching it up so bad, and we got to be one of the four. And so we were, and again, because of longevity of relationship, we were able to be on the list. And so it was a testimony to why stay loyal to your vendors and why treat them like as well. We try to treat your vendor like they're a customer. Just do right by them. Just treat them like you would want to be treated. You know, if you were their customer, if they're your customer. And so I think COVID, there was a lot of you know, safety protocol and masks and trying to figure out how do you do all this stuff safely. And we all, you know, it changed week by week for a while. It's like, what's the rule and what do we do? And
what operations are you going to have to deal with this week?
Yeah.
Operational changes.
Yeah. And it was week by week. And so it made you rely, again, we have a great leadership team. We're a fairly flat organization, but our leadership team is just really strong and good leaders, good ideas, and just great people, you know, all the way throughout the organization. And so people that I think, you know, some of that fatigue. So maybe on the side, when you're an essential business, the fatigue wasn't, oh no, I'm sitting at home. The fatigue was, we keep showing up to work whenever a lot of people were not. Mm. And so I think for our people, a lot of like the blessing of continuing to be able to pay bills and get a paycheck, but there was some exhaustion because things did get busy and they just kept showing up day after day after day with, you know, maybe with on the back of your mind, like people are getting sick and we're losing loved ones, and that's fatigue, right? Oh, yeah. And so there's that emotional, mental challenge that I think a lot of people were facing, but our people kept showing up day after day after day.
Yeah. So let's transition to sales and marketing a bit as far as what you found to be crucial. Maybe not necessarily even the glass business, because the traits of a strong business carry over, I really believe, from industry to industry. Sure, there's some things that are very industry specific, of course, but you know, obviously Sunglass has grown from where it was. Even though there was acquisitions involved, the market share has been greatly affected and growth is obvious. And so with that, what would you say are some core essentials that if you were to lose Zia today, the partnership that we have, and something were to move on in that regard, because we do help each other a lot in those things. Yeah. But again, we need that strong business to work with, so the marketing isn't fake. It's real. We're telling the truth to the community. Yep. So how do you keep telling the truth? What are some of those things that you said, yeah, that made our company better and we were able to sell better because of these things? Because people are going to be taking notes thinking, okay,
you know, my business, I have, you know, I have a service business. I have 25 people. I want to get to 50 people. Maybe because that person's, because in a small town, I really believe a big passion for employers is employing people.
Yeah.
You know, being blessed by God to be able to go, wow, God has given me the resources to then say, I'm going to steward this finances well and hire hands so that people can put food on the table. So there's passionate business owners out there that that's their heart. That's what they want to do. And they want to make money. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of those elements that have you found be like, man, if I were to start with 25 employees and grow it to 100, what would I do all over again when it comes to revenue?
Well, I mean, I think on the, I mean, if we talk about just strictly from the sales and marketing side, you know, I guess when it, if it just goes to sales, it's again, hire great salespeople, train them, make them technically solid. They have to buy into your core values. They have to bleed.
So you can have the wrong sales guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What does that guy look like? The wrong sales guy.
You know, and I think the wrong sales guy looks different in different organizations. So I don't know that I can pinpoint like this is the wrong sales guy, but you know who the right sales guy is. And the right sales guy, whenever you're hearing about it in the community, right? Like, because they represent you so well. And again, so for us driving this culture of care and whenever, you know, brag on Jeremy, like he's one that with Jeremy, I get people that brag on how much he cares about them when he's there measuring for windows in their home. And just the way he handles his business, he's not high pressure. He's not put, cause that's not who we are.
Yeah.
You know, he's not high pressure. He's not trying to shove them into something or, you know, try and shove a square window into a round hole, right? We actually call our sales reps consultants because we really feel like we're there to consult and find you great solutions for your project.
We did a commercial once a few years back and we were making fun. We were doing a commercial where Jeremy was going door to door as a sleazy sales guy for windows. And what he would do in this little bit, maybe we'll actually play it on the thing. But what you find is he goes to this door and she's unbeknownst. She doesn't know she has problems with her windows. And he comes with these slick glasses and he's like, hey, so I already done the measurements on your door. She goes, you did what? Anyway, I'm going to give you half off to the thing. But what she doesn't know is he already tripled the price to give her half off, right? So that's the trick. Yeah. And Jeremy was in the commercial. And really, I think you have sales guys that they believe in that, or else they would just eke for that next bigger commission, other than treating people the right way.
And our salespeople are part of the team. And I think that's, they see themselves that way. It's not like you have your installers and your operation team, and then you have sales. They're part of the team. So whenever an installer's having a struggle on a job, they know they can call Jeremy and he's going to come and bring them material, help, whatever it takes, because he's part of the team. And so I think for us, sales guys that are part of the team, because they understand maybe the bigger picture versus just understanding the product and trying to get a sale, they understand that they're part of something bigger too. So I think that's a big part of it. And then the marketing side, I mean, I think social media is just, it's become the norm now, right? And it's so critical. And you know, y'all do such a great job of, you know, we generate the content, if you will, and then y'all put it together in a way that at least we're telling our story in the feed day in and day out, whatever that might be.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day, right?
Every day.
Every day on every platform. And so I think, again, if I was starting from scratch, I would keep doing that, right? That works. And then the video stuff, people are hooked on video. It's just, that's where the world has changed. You know, from people reading a newspaper to now, most people probably get their news on some social media platform.
Right, right. And I think too, choosing a way to flex your money, finding a partner agency wherever at in your town, or you can call us, is you could figure out a way to work your video advertising budget in a way that's month to month rather than a commitment.
Yeah.
And you'll find you can pivot your dollars faster if you say, hey, let's do this for this month. Let's see how it pushes. Now, video, it's better as a long burn, but doesn't mean you can't move your money around, shift it around, try different markets, try different things. We can target neighborhoods now. So if we say, hey, we're just going to target the east side of town or the south side of town or the west side or the north side, we can actually draw a map and serve them TV ads, which is pretty incredible.
This is kind of one of the things that I think a lot of small business owners, medium-sized business owners need to know, is a lot of times they prioritize advertising over that marketing push. And the difference really is, right, you know, advertising is this paid placement, right, where marketing is really focused on message and communicating your message to the proper people. That's what we focus on. Yeah. And you need both. Yep. I'm not saying you don't, you, but so many businesses I see at that 25 person standpoint, they'll put $5,000 a month into advertising and they don't have any message.
Yeah.
So they depend on their advertiser to create a message for them. And their advertiser is probably not very good at it, to be honest with you.
Right.
And so essentially they don't communicate the right message. Yeah. And so they're throwing a lot of dollars away because they're not giving the potential client the thing they need to hear so that they want to convert business.
And as a small business owner, and because we didn't have an agency for a long time, you know, before Zia, we were just doing it ourselves. And my dad and I were the ones that we just kind of did it and that's what we did. We just did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're
a lot of hands.
You do it because you have to. But we also, I would say it was a shotgun approach. Like we just kind of willy-nilly threw a little money here, willy-nilly threw a little bit of money there and hope for the best.
Yep.
Whereas working with you guys, we get analytics, we get data to say, hey, this is working. And then sometimes you're like, hey, we're doing this and this is not working. We tried this and it didn't work. So it's actually measurable.
Yes.
Which as a small business owner, that's critical.
Yes.
Because you can spend a bunch of money and get nothing out of it. Or you can spend money and get return and know like, hey, the phone rang this many times. We saw this many hits to our website, whatever that might be. And I think that's the big change, you know, and again, we're going back to some old school, like even the direct mail, right? We're doing some direct mail.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the deal though, is like a goal, right? Has this idea of a measurable strategy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You start with a strategy and oftentimes, like you were saying, willy nilly, like there's this, the strategy is willy nilly.
Yeah.
Well, that's not effective. It may work on one avenue and you may be getting some hits on that one avenue, but you're spending a whole bunch of money on avenues that mean nothing.
Right.
You know, and I see businesses all the time. They put something in like a Penny Saver magazine and they're not a Penny Saver type of, a coupon means nothing to their business, you know, and they're spending $400,000, $500,000 a month for something that literally means nothing to their business. Yeah. And oftentimes, if they just spent that same amount of money in SEO, they'd actually be getting phone calls.
Right.
You know, and so there's just strategy behind something that...
Again, I go back to partnership, right?
Partnership.
Again, good banker, good insurance guy, good attorney.
Yeah.
Good digital marketing guy.
Yeah.
You're on the list.
Right.
That's the short list because those people help protect you. They help make you better. Make you survive.
And mainly because it's aspects. A specialty. So we have different resources that you don't want to invest in. In fact, you may not even care to invest in.
I do not.
But we have to invest in order to provide a valuable service to you. And when you end up paying us and reimbursing us for those costs, it's at a ridiculous fraction of the cost. And so I really believe that, you know, And Micah hit it on the head. We find so many well-intended business owners. I don't think anyone wants business. To hurt their business.
Yeah. No,
but they really believe in what they can feel in the moment. That's what I see as one of the biggest drawbacks to a business owner who doesn't want to put in the time and lacks vision. I know that's hardcore and that's kind of a jab, but it's the truth. If you don't have a vision, figure out a way to develop a vision. You know, if you're a person of faith, pray to God, ask him for help.
Yeah.
If you're not a person of faith,
still pray to God.
Yeah. If you're not a person of faith, yeah. Repent and believe.
Talk to professionals, get some help, get a vision, mission statement, value system together because it's going to drive your marketing. In fact, we are doing rebrands all the time when we go to a business owner and they say, actually don't have any values or vision. I said, well, it's going to be really hard to do marketing. We could do advertising for you, but that's a faucet. Turn on the faucet, turn it off. Marketing stays with you often. The burnout takes a lot longer to go out, but it also takes a long time to come in to build up. And so, absolutely. Micah, what do you see? We kind of dabbled in the kind of the characteristics of a salesperson. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just wanted to think, you know, you've been a sales guy your whole life. What do you see as that one thing that maybe even make it super personal? What things made your seasons effective and your seasons not so effective as a salesperson?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you have to know your trade, the skill part of the trade. So there are skills to any trade, including sales. And so learning how to handle objections, learning how to get your foot through the front door, learning how to have the right amount of friendliness and presence. There's been times that I kind of was over the top and it killed a potential sale because I was too friendly, too excited about, you know, connecting or whatever. So you got to have the right tone, you know, and skills. But going kind of back to what Clint was talking about earlier with care, the thing that's driven my sales predominantly and what has made me a successful salesman is that I do care about my client. And in caring, I ask a lot of the right questions and I dig into what matters to that person. And in doing that, you expose, you know, it helps that I have expertise in what I'm doing. So I know I can be a consultant as well.
Yeah.
Right. But you get there by asking the questions. And when you find out, like when I'm, you know, if I were interviewing Clint, I would be asking things to draw out what challenges he's had with marketing, what challenges he's had with the effectiveness of it, you know, where's his pain points. And I would ultimately find out, hey, you know, maybe he really he's had a really bad digital marketing experience with somebody else with a website, and they would never respond, or you know, so his website never changed. Well, now I can start speaking to, well, one, we can address that as a business going, we're going to provide a service that if Clint calls, he's going to get a response within 24 hours or something like that. And he's going to have the change done within 72 hours. So we can do things like that to respond to the need. And then I can say something like, hey, well, you know, Clint, one of the nice things about working with a local business is you can walk through my door anytime.
Yeah.
And that's different than if you have to try to call somebody in New York or something like that, that you might never get a hold of.
Yeah.
And you're talking to their, you know, customer service partner who's in India,
right?
You know? So there is a quality difference that you can get. And that's what we talk about often is we give a level of service that is unlike, I think anything in the country, honestly, in many ways, to our clientele, because we give so much personal attention and we care.
Yeah.
We really do
care. I think at the end of the day, you know, when you say sales, it's really about solutions, right?
It is.
Sales. It really is.
Is that you're finding solutions. And I'd say that's one thing. That's where my dad was really good, is if you walked in and he was there, if you needed something, he was going to find it. It may be that he says, we can't do that for you, but I know where to send you.
Sure.
To go get what you need.
Yep.
Or it may be, and even I've heard, you know, Jeremy and some of the sales reps say the same thing. They get a call to go measure for, oh, we want new windows. And he gets there and you're like, man, your windows are in good shape.
Yep.
You have three fogged insulated glass units. You just need to change those out.
Just replace
those. Let's just replace those. We'll save you a ton of money. And he said, 9 times out of 10, they're like, they're so grateful that you found them a solution to what their problem was. But they thought their problem was one thing that was going to cost them tenfold what that problem cost.
Right.
And he just gave him a solution. It wasn't like he's trying to, again, shove something at him because he needs the sales. He's going to say, this is the best.
You're right by them.
He's just going to do the right thing, right?
Yeah, it just goes to show, you know, the telling the truth in sales provides deeper opportunities, enriches relationships. Because that couple, this rando couple could have been like, you know what? We planned on 10K. We're only spending 4. Honey, we could do the shower now. We could do the shower glass. Yeah. Hey, can you quote me a shower glass door?
He was telling me the other day, he had a customer that called me and said, hey, 5 years ago, it was that exact story.
Yep.
5 years ago, you came and you changed out the glass. It's 5 years later and they said, we've just decided we want new windows.
Yeah.
Like, we know. And you're my guy.
Yeah.
And so he called.
Because you did right by him.
Because he did right. And we say a lot of times, sunglasses, it's always about the long burn. And I think small town.
Majorly.
It's got to be all about the long burn. And I think maybe that's the difference between small town versus major metro. Is short term, there's an unlimited number of customers, right?
Right.
In small town, there's only so many. So you better just treat them all right.
Well, you know, though, even in because of reviews online, and the ability for people to quickly find out your reputation in a lot of ways in a community, I would say it's still important in a major metro. Yeah,
that's true. So so probably social media and the review system that's available.
It really has brought people to be a little bit more honest, I think, which is a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no, the amount of information that's at our fingertips is different, right? Yeah. Than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
So whether it's researching about Windows or marketing, or, you know, I kind of have an idea about what I should pay because I can go do my own research.
Exactly.
And so a lot of times you walk into a home, you're dealing with a customer, they have an idea because they've already done a lot of their own research, which is great.
Yep.
Very good. So as we wrap it up, a couple more things I wanted to cover. One is, you know, we're going to have a lot of business owners or business administrators, people that are like, hey, I own the business, but you're going to run it, grow it. Okay. We know you're out there. A lot of them may be like, okay, I'm right on the verge of keeping what I'm doing well, because you're dabbling yourself in your time, your career in other business types, industries, but it's taken a long time for you to get there. And I think it's important to set the tone for people. You know, they see all this stuff online, guys in jets and guys in new cars. That is not reality. That's not true. Reality. There's pain and suffering before the joy comes. Yeah. And if you got the joy without any pain and suffering, you need to question your journey. I mean, you need to at least ask.
I think if it took a long time to get there, it takes a long time to lose it as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get there too fast.
You lose it fast.
Yeah.
So what is some encouragement for those people that are ready to add some things to the portfolio personally and really walking through navigating family and business and all that? What would that be a word of advice for that person?
Yeah, you know, so my CPA, he often says, yeah, you can do other things, but don't mess with the mothership. Yeah. So there's a lot of wisdom in that, yeah, right? Yeah, like you can do some things that are outside,
right?
But make sure you make the main things the main things, right?
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think when you get to a spot where you can try some other stuff, it doesn't hurt to try some other stuff. And so,
yeah,
you know, but again, you got to have good leadership within your own organization. And so you have to be, you know, time committed sometimes to those leaders and make sure again that they've bought into the values that, you know, that maybe you've been carrying it for 10 years or 15 years that they're going to help carry that forward with you.
I think that's, you know, one of the things that I've seen in my life many times is entrepreneurs having that entrepreneurial addiction almost, which is, you know, there's not a terrible thing about that. I mean, that's who they are.
Yeah.
Right. But there can be this almost where they grow a business to a certain point, and then it's like squirrel, you know, they see something and then the next thing you know, their attention is so diverted from that mothership, as you said, that they lose sight of this thing that really is carrying the opportunity for this to even happen.
Right.
Right. And then this suffers so bad that they might even kill it.
Yeah.
You know, in the process. And so it's such a great thought there, Clint, to think what, you know, nurture the thing that is probably carrying the
bulk of the weight, load, right?
Yeah, on all these other things. And how do you maybe you could share with how have you stayed able to focus on these, but still carry some of these
I would never call myself an entrepreneur. Like I just think it's maybe, you know, reality TV's just made that a bad word.
Too much, I don't know. Right. You're like, no, I can't handle that.
Yeah. You can't identify as that. But but I would say I'm a fixer again. Like I know me, like I would rather buy something and make it, but I can get bored, which
that's boredom.
Yeah. And that's, So even our office manager 2 weeks ago, she's like, could we just have a year where we don't buy or sell anything?
Just a year.
Like, we have 1 year.
1 year, I just don't want to have to deal with the CPA workload.
Deal with all of my fallout that I create, you know? And so, because when you acquire a business, the integration process is hard. And, but I like that newness.
Sure.
And so how to create something and like look at, okay, how can we make this better and maybe give those employees a better life and how can we just make it better?
Yeah.
And so, but I chalk it up to boredom a little bit.
Sure.
You know, and so, so it's watching that and making sure, again, but making sure it's wise, you know, what you're jumping into is wise. It's not something that's, again, don't mess with the mothership. Yeah. So it's not something, you're not jumping into something that's going to break you time-wise,
yes,
or break you financially.
Sure.
Is that it's okay to invest in something and give some time to it.
And speaking of that, in particular,
what keys are you looking for now in a business that you may acquire to fix, where you can bring your expertise in your part of the puzzle,
right,
that they may need, but you're not having to divert to your time to the point.
That it has good leadership.
Okay.
It needs to be something that I love and I'm
okay.
I'm passionate about. Like, it's not something that's just
there.
Something I don't care about.
Got it.
Okay. And so I bought a flight school
okay.
here in the last year. I started, which wasn't the plan. That's how most of these things wind up. And so I started working.
Honey, I'm home.
Yeah. Started working. I'd always wanted to get a pilot's license. Like, that was just,
okay.
Yeah.
Thought coming out of high school, I thought I wanted to be a pilot. That didn't play out. It was cheaper to go to college and get an engineering degree.
Instead of just going to flight school, you just bought the flight school.
So I went to flight school and I started, and then the gentleman that owned it, he actually got enough hours and jumped to the airline. So he was ready to sell it. So he was talking about closing it,
okay.
But it's one of those, I think it's such a gift to our community.
Okay.
To teach young men and women how to fly airplanes, that there's a huge need for pilots nationwide. Absolutely. So
huge
need.
So a huge shortage.
Huge right. shortage. So, huge shortage, right. So helping people get to where they want to go. So that's something I can be passionate about. Okay. I can be passionate about helping young men and women get to where they want to go. Yeah. And so we had two of our flight instructors already jump, and one of them's at SkyWest now, one of them's at Republic.
Oh,
like, how cool is that? That we got
careers.
That we get to be part of their story.
Yeah.
That they were instructing here. And so I don't put a lot of time and energy into it. Probably the people that are working there probably could say, we'd like to see you more. but again, great people. Help give them the tools and resources they need, and we'll figure out how to help it grow. And again, it's another way to, I see it's a way to serve the community. So it's something that I kind of fell in love with. You know, finally, like I said, got the opportunity to work on my pilot's license. And it was always, every time I would mention getting my pilot's license, Eric would be like, yeah, no, kids were little or whatever. And
yeah.
She's the one that whenever all of a sudden she saw this flight school in town, she's like, hey, you should do this. I'm like, don't tempt me with a good time. Right? And so it was such a great experience. And the culture was already so good there.
Yeah.
That it was just kind of a no-brainer.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, this is something we can do. It's not messing with the mothership. It's very different than the glass business, but it's still a lot of fun. And I think, again, a gift to San Juan County, a gift to the region. We even have a lot of students that come from Durango and all over.
Nice.
We've had students actually fly in from Alaska, spend 6 weeks, get a private pilot's license, in a short period of time.
Oh, wow.
And so a way to, maybe bring people and give people some exposure to San Juan County, because very price cool. is right. Our weather's great. This is the best place in the country to learn how to fly, honestly.
Sure.
Because of,
you can go up there every day and pretty much do it.
The weather's good. I mean, we have days that are too windy.
I don't
know what our days of sunshine are, but it's, it's over the top, right?
Yeah.
So we have the weather for it. We have a tower. So we have air traffic control, not a lot of traffic. So you can be, out the hangar on the runway, and we do all of our training over Nappy, so you can be there in under 3 minutes. So you're 15 minutes from hangar to training, and it's in training with in the airline or for private pilot is really, you spend like by the hour.
Okay.
So the sooner you can get to the training area and start your training, the cheaper it is.
Got it.
And so we're not sitting on a runway waiting for a bunch of traffic and paying, because we can be out there. So something different, but nice. Something that's fun and to be passionate about.
Yeah.
That's excellent. So to wrap it up, I want to give my guests kind of a couple things to say before we wrap it up. One is just a quick plug of your two businesses. So anyone could go to sunglass4corners.com and find your branch, find your city, because we're in multiple cities. Yep. I felt like a part of the team.
Yeah.
Sunglasses in multiple cities where we can, do shower doors, new windows, replacement windows, new construction.
Bathroom remodels.
Yeah, but your plug for Sunglass and then the Roadrunner School.
Yeah, so Sunglass, again, legacy business. We feel like we're just part of this community, and so we love the opportunity to care for you. It's your home is probably your greatest investment in your life, and so I hope you hire somebody that you can trust, and I hope that it's we're somebody that is trustworthy. And so that could be replacing old windows in a home that you've been in for a long time, that it's time. Could be new construction windows, so we've pivoted and we're doing a lots of new construction, so have a lot of different window lines, from just a really good solid vinyl window, and lens that way with a double lifetime warranty. So you sell your house, it goes to the next owner. That's pretty
great. Great air filtration with a Yeah. Anlin.
Yep. Yep. So just a really great workhorse window to, we're talking with a company called Ital right now, which is out of Poland. And so it's a really, really high end window. And so it does some pretty unique stuff, has some crazy low, you know, what U values, which is like, it's the inverse of R. So really great insulation values. That's probably the best way to talk about it. And so, yeah, so we're playing in some really big markets and big stuff, and then love what we do, just kind of blue collar day in and day out, but everything's turnkey. So we always want to be the guy that if something's wrong, you can point the finger at us. So yeah. We're going to sell you the product. We're going to install it. It's not like, well, they sold it, they installed it. We're your guy. So if it's wrong, we're going to stand behind it. And I think that's one of the things that makes Sunglass different than most people in our industry.
And, you know, just residential and commercial, high-end residential. Yeah. You've done some great projects up in mountain towns in Colorado and the Western Slope and so forth, some beautiful projects. And so, I mean, I think you guys hit the full range when it comes to windows.
Yeah, so you can get it from, you know, starter home,
yeah,
the window line for that, which still we feel like we're carrying great brands that, that serve the need and can be price competitive to get. We want to be somebody that's just about solutions.
Yeah.
That if you can, you know, you come and sit down with one of our reps, that they're a consultant. They're there to find you a solution that works for your price point, that works for your home, that fits the need.
They're not going to go into, I don't know, a middle-class home and say, hey, you need a glass wall, you know, on this side of the house, right? If they don't need it, you're not going
to
sell.
You're not going to walk in a $300,000 home and say, we need to sell you a $300,000 window package, right? Like,
because
you can, but that is, you know, again, we want to find solutions that make sense.
Yeah.
So really excited with, you know, it was hard selling the auto glass side, but it's really allowed us to focus. And I think already I can see us getting better. And so, cause we're focused on really things that are in a much narrower span, you know, really construction related, really windows and doors, really commercial. So it's really more focused. That's great. I think that helps us, really helps us be better, which means hopefully we can care better. And so very different on the Roadrunner side. Yeah. Come do a discovery flight. It is a ton of fun.
How much is that?
Yeah. $200 plus tax. Okay. And so discovery flight means you show up, there's going to be a certified flight instructor that they're going to walk through everything, help you do an inspection on an airplane. Then they're going to, you're going to jump in and you're going to take off and they're going to help you. So both sides have controls. And then you'll have a choice. You can go to, typically give them choice. You can go over to Shiprock and kind of circle Shiprock.
Is there a mental health assessment before someone gets up? Or does the master pilot actually have?
So both have full controls. So the student does. And so they both have full controls.
Okay.
So there is, before you actually start school, you do have to go get a medical. Okay. Yeah. So you have to be able to pass a medical exam. Gotcha. So it's called an FAA medical. So you have to go past that before. Yeah. But yeah, we give you a choice. You can fly to Shiprock or you can fly over to Navajo Dam, which is just a lot of fun. So just to get to see our community from the air, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Just rock formations and just so much stuff to see. And so Navajo Dam's kind of cool from the air and to see all the fingers and all the stuff that's
still a really there. Neat way to do it.
We call it a discovery flight, and you go do it and you're like, hey, this is for me. I love it. You know, for me, like discovery flight, it was a hot afternoon and the air was rough. And it was still stinking fun. Because even the instructor, he's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, this is great.
Blessed.
And so, and then, you know, full school can get you all the way, through a commercial license.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to give you the last word, and we're going to do this with every one of our hosts or our guests.
Yeah.
And that would be, you know, if you were to talk to your younger self, going into entrepreneurial world, what word of encouragement would you give? And then we'll let everyone go today.
Best thing that happened to me was I got to work in the corporate world. So after college, worked for a couple different companies that were great companies. The last one again was Pavestone. Got to build a concrete plant. So it was greenfield. So built it, staffed it. I got to learn a lot on somebody else's dime. And there's tremendous value in that. I think a lot of people jump right into entrepreneurship, maybe without a lot of knowledge. Maybe they're a decent technician. So having been in a leadership position in that environment, surrounded by really great leaders, was a huge blessing for me. So I would say, you know, that I look back and I'm like, I'm grateful for those years. So I would encourage someone that says, well, I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm like, okay, go spend 5 years being a leader somewhere else. Yeah. It'll save you a lot of pain. Because there was mistakes I made. There was hard things that I learned. So I staffed that plant at the end of 1 year. I hired 80 people. The end of the end of the year, there was two people with me that were that I hired originally. It's not a good turnover rate. You're not doing something right. A lot of those were hiring decisions. I didn't make. Yeah. I didn't hire the right people.
Yeah.
Year two, it went to 30% turnover. In year three, it went to 10%.
So net, almost 98% turnover, yeah, or something like that,
right, yeah,
to 30 to 10.
And so I learned a lot.
Like, yeah, you know, and in a small town, and that if you had learned that lesson with Sunglass before, that would have killed
yeah,
Sunglass.
We could have been bankrupt. Our reputation would have been unrecoverable.
The cost of that turnover, right. Wow,
was so much.
Wow, so great advice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Clint. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your time. Yeah. We'll see everyone.